BSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang, my colleague and co-host and friend at Gordon G. Chang. China, its economy. Xi Jinping's embassy to Europe. Paris, I'm told. And then, oddly, Serbia. And then, oddly, Hungary. Mysteries. But then again, Orban is always a rock star. And in Serbia, we have a wannabe named Vucic. However, our guide to these matters, Jonathan Ward, joins us, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, also the author most recently of Decisive Decade. Jonathan, she goes to Europe, and we're told by Voice of America, some analysts say Xi's trip to Europe is part of Beijing's attempt to undermine European unity while deepening its foothold in the European Union. Do you follow that logic? Good evening to you, Jonathan.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Gordon. Well, yes, I think that's true. I mean, what the Chinese Communist Party has always wanted to do is to divide Europe from the United States, to divide any sort of allied coalition that could unite against China, particularly with regard to economic competition and military coherence. But none of that, I mean, no diplomatic effort by China, by Xi Jinping himself, by any of these people, is going to change the fact that the Europeans understand China's role in backing Putin's invasion of Ukraine. I mean, at this point, you know, the three of us have covered that now since the very beginning. But I think at this point, most policymakers really understand that China has been bankrolling this war, providing support, helping Putin at this point reconstitute his entire military industrial base. So meetings in Europe, despite the obvious strategic support for Russia, I think are not going to change anything in the actual Western coalition. And what I mean by that is that Western Europe is going to stay united on the Russia-China issue. I think we're getting smarter about that together. You know, the visit in France with Macron and also with one of the top people representing the European Commission, the European Union, I think they understand what's going on here. On the other hand, his visit to Eastern Europe is much more troubling in that sense. When you go to Serbia, China's investments in Serbia over the past 15 years are the equivalent of 30% of Serbia's entire GDP. I mean, that's pretty high. That's about the level that you get in many developing countries that are deeply into the Belt and Road. And then, of course, Hungary is, I think, an ardent sort of signatory of the Belt and Road. They have a ton of Chinese investment going in there, and they've become a hub for some of China's major strategic corporations. So the Chinese have made absolutely clear that they intend to use Hungary as a base for manufacturing, and that would enable Chinese companies to get around impending European tariffs. So this is very significant. Some of the big companies that have invested heavily in Hungary include Huawei, include CATL, include BYD. I mean, these are some of the major strategic corporations of the People's Republic of China, and Orban has welcomed them with open arms.
Gordon, you have a question for Jonathan.
Jonathan, while Xi Jinping was in Hungary, China and Hungary declared they were in a all-weather comprehensive strategic partnership for the new era, which is Xi Jinping's words. Essentially, we saw Orban very much toe China's line on very important issues, including the Ukraine war. Hungary is in the EU. It's also in NATO. Should it remain in those two organizations?
Well, look, my view, and I'm just really starting to understand what Hungary is doing here. But look, if they're going to be aligned with Russia and China and also in NATO, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. So I think they have to choose the Western side or face some significant consequences. And, you know, Xi Jinping, I mean, that's where the wedges, I think, are going to be drawn, is in Eastern Europe, in the Balkans. I mean, most of Eastern Europe is firmly on the Western side at this point because of the invasion of Ukraine and because of their own experience of communism. But here in Hungary, I mean, I think something that's very significant is the fact that Huawei has thrived in Hungary for, you know, about a decade now. I mean, it has the largest logistics and manufacturing base outside of China, which is called the Huawei European Supply Center. And then CATL, which makes the batteries that you know, they've captured an enormous amount of market share. Their founder has just said that the Greenfield project in Hungary will be a giant leap in CATL's global expansion. So, you know, Orban is playing the economic game to China's favor, and he's also playing the geopolitical game where he's courting both Russia and China. So yes, I think there need to be consequences. And I think this kind of thing should not fly. It's just completely unacceptable. As we face a Russia-China combination that we will have to defeat.
Comment, Gordon. Hungary's economy and Serbia's economy, they're Lilliputian to the giant Gulliver, which is China. Lilliputian. The significant fact here is that they're playing a game that was played by the major powers 10 years ago. Let's do business with China. That's not happening on this trip, Gordon. Why? What's happened to the Chinese economy? What does Berlin know? What does London know? What does Rome know that they didn't know 10 years ago?
The Chinese economy is stumbling badly. It reported 5.3% growth for the first quarter. But if it's growing, it's only in the 1% range at best. But John, even if it were growing at 5.3, it would not be growing fast enough to create the output to service debt. So Xi Jinping is basically an impossible situation. And he's making it worse by making all the wrong moves, by trying to move away from consumption, really, and to double down on manufacturing, which means exports. And the rest of the world are not going to take China's products in order for China to decimate local industries. This is just not a sustainable solution for China.
And Jonathan, your measure, does Europe know that Xi Jinping no longer represents a giant with punch, that it's a weak giant, a giant that's falling down?
Well, John, I would take a slightly different view of that because China is still a $20 trillion economy. I think it's succeeding in sending its companies global. I mean, it has permissive global markets. It's able to, you know, pour an enormous amount of credit still into its corporations. And we're not yet taking action on that. So I don't believe that there's actually a Western economic response to China that's significant enough to undermine its actual grand strategies. And they do have detailed strategies for expanding domestic consumption. I mean, that's all written with 5-year plans. Whether or not they'll succeed at that or whether they have options other than credit expansion are, still to be told. But I think unless we're willing as an alliance system to really shut their products out, particularly in their strategic industries, to go after the strategic corporations, then I think they're going to be able to export their way, maybe not to significant growth, but certainly to some level of economic power. I mean, there's no doubt that this is a very powerful economy. I mean, it dominates the world in global trade and in industrial and consumer manufacturing. I mean, we have not addressed that yet with strategy. And in light of that, I mean, you look at some of the macroeconomic issues such as deflation. I mean, if they're going to be able to use deflation at home to basically create an export boom across our markets, I mean, you know, that's going to take a real policy response, a very tough one that we're going to have to do with allies and that we haven't done yet to stop that. So I think this is not over. I think they are definitely the most significant economic challenger we've ever had, and we have not yet figured out how to take that on.
Gordon, you have a question for Jonathan. We have a couple of minutes.
Jonathan, it's reported that the Biden administration will impose 100% tariffs on China's green products tomorrow. What do you think about that, and is that a significant response?
I think that's great. I think we should do that with the Europeans, with the Japanese, with the entire OECD. I'd love to see that sort of thing. And I'd love to see that as a test case for other strategic industries that we can do across the alliance system. Because if we shut down their ability to export to the OECD, then you're going to get towards the path of real economic containment. Then their weaknesses start to set in. Then you can win the geopolitical long game against them and really impair their economy.
What's your timeline, Jonathan, on how long the West has, after, following your logic, how long does the West have to coordinate a response?
Well, as I wrote in The Decisive Decade, I mean, this is really about the first decade of the new Cold War. I mean, the 2020s are the key time. It's the time where we have to realize that there's a problem and we have to take the economic issues on head on so that we're able to win the long game over the decades to follow. So I think we have really this decade to formulate an overwhelming economic response to make sure that China is no longer a growing powerhouse, to make sure that it does not have a path to dominating strategic industries or global trade. So, we're right in the middle of that, and I think our response time is lagging.
Gordon, there is a report that China's debt to GDP is 300%. Do you believe it?
I think it's more like 350, could be 400. They overstate their GDP. They understate their debt, hidden debt. We don't know what it is, but I think it's over 300.
Is that significant, Gordon, in terms of China's growth? 350 to GDP?
Well, it means they have a debt crisis, and we'll have to see whether their companies can pay back debt. But so far, there have been a number of big companies that have defaulted, and this is not over yet.
Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, and we thank Jonathan Ward, a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, the author most recently of Decisive Decade. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patrick.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.